Our scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. For I want you to know how greatly I strive for you and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your orderly conduct and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abiding in thanksgiving. Watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The church I grew up in was the United Methodist Church that sat on the Arizona State University campus. Depending on when you look and what numbers you're looking at, one of the largest undergraduate campuses in the country. Kind of a running joke for a long time that ASU was the easiest undergraduate campus to get in the country, and that's why it became the largest. But I basically grew up a block off of the campus. I was a Sun Devil before I ever made it to college. And it took me a while to make it to college. So, but one of the things that was great about growing up at a campus church is there were lots of different folks in the community and lots of different folks that would come in that wanted to come work, you know, part-time jobs or whatever while they were going to school. And so we benefited from lots of different skill sets. Some of you have heard me tell my story of how I came into, understood my call to ministry, and there was a woman that I was working with that helped me realize that call, Delin. She was an artist, and she was very creative and really struggled with organization, and really that was kind of, you know, she was my spirit animal. She and I understood each other very well, but she was even more creative than I was, and even less organized a lot of the times. And but there was this office manager at the church who was an MBA student, and he was fantastic, but he was rigid in his understanding of how things worked, and we needed that. We needed that to help keep us on track, and we would talk all the time about, it is sometimes really difficult to work with Matt, but for the same reasons that made it difficult was exactly why we needed him as part of the team. But Delin used to say sometimes I feel like I'm talking to Matt in interpretive dance, and he's answering me in German. And I thought that's a metaphor that has stuck with me often. There are many conversations that I have had throughout the years where the person I'm talking to, we're having the same conversation, except we just seem to keep going around and around in circles. And after I walk away from that conversation, usually frustrated, if I can take time to let the frustration settle, you know, sometimes every time you think back on that frustrating moment, that frustration comes right back up, right? But if I can take time to let go of it and actually think about the conversation I had, I realize we're talking about two different things, right? We're doing this. Somebody's having a logistics conversation, and somebody else is having an emotional conversation, right? Somebody is talking about details, and the other person's talking about big picture. Somebody's talking about intent, and the other person's talking about impact, right? And so it occurs to me that this is often what happens when we read Scripture together, or not when we read it together. Actually, I think that's the key often is, can we read Scripture together? But when we run into other people, other Christians, other people of the book, and people start throwing around Bible verses, like you say something and they just throw a Bible verse at you as though that is the answer, as though you must see the logic of their way of reading that, right? And you think, well, I can throw a Bible. How about this Bible verse, right? And then they throw one back at you, and eventually somebody says, well, you're misinterpreting, or you're choosing to. This scripture right here is at the heart of what a lot of people fall back on when they start saying, you are choosing to read the Bible in a particular way. A couple weeks ago, we talked about, we had a post go up around Pride. Now, Broadway has had a long history of being a fully inclusive church. We recognize that all people, regardless of gender identity, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, even regardless of religion, are made in the image of God, right? That's not because of what they believe. That's because of what we believe. We believe they are made in the image of God, and therefore, we affirm the sacred worth of all people. And if God is calling somebody into relationship with God, with Christ, who are we to say, no, not you? So we had a post go up on our blog a couple weeks ago for Pride, and really it was just about affirming the fact that sometimes it was about prisms and how sometimes what seems like a single beam of light once refracted through a prism reminds us that all along it was multiple things, right? There was always diversity there. We just couldn't see it to begin with. And we got a lot of pushback. And one of the things that came up often is in this scripture, the writer says, I say this so that you aren't deceived by plausible arguments, right? So that you're not captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world and not according to Christ. There are folks who will say, churches that are fully inclusive when it comes to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender folks, we are just adapting to the ways of the world rather than holding firm to Scripture. But really, what this passage is saying, and those lines are there, right? I just pointed them out. Those are there. But really, what this Scripture is saying all together, it's a reminder that the values of Jesus aren't in the specific letters of the law as handed down to us through the Hebrew Bible, but in the living Word as we read and understand it and experience it through Jesus Christ. This is about how we hold in tension these two things, where Paul tells us that in Christ Jesus we are no longer under the law. We no longer live under the law, but under grace, right? But Jesus himself tells us, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The law was always intended to help us try to understand the values that God is trying to instill on us. And Jesus comes to say, this is how you write the law on your heart. Later on in Colossians, the author will say, if you write down tenets, if you take my words and write them down as a new law, it won't help you to avoid the pitfalls of lust, of greed, of envy. You could hold true to a rule and still fall victim to the underlying issue that Jesus is trying to save us from, right? You remember when Jesus says to the people listening to him, you've heard it said, do not commit murder, but I tell you that if you look with evil intent on another person, you've committed murder in your heart. That's a little harsh. Who of us hasn't looked at somebody and been like, right? Jesus isn't saying, and therefore you're going to hell. That's not the point. The whole point is saying that it's not a, if you do this, then this, right? The whole point is saying, hey, it's not about just trying to, okay, I'm really angry and I can't physically kill you. So what are the things within the law that will let me make your life as miserable as possible? But hey, I'm good with God because I'm not killing you, right? Jesus is saying, we need to address the underlying issue of anger. Often when we talk about sexuality, when we talk about gender identity and same gender relationships, people will bring up in the writings of Paul, they'll bring up that it's often mentioned in the context of lust. And I do think we need to have conversations about lust, what healthy sexuality looks like in our society, in gay and straight relationships. Because it is not the case that all gay relationships are lustful and all straight relationships are fine. We know that. We need to have a deeper conversation, but people don't want to have the deeper conversation about sex gets awkward. You're probably feeling some kind of way just about the fact that I've said sex a couple times right here, right? Am I wrong? No. We don't want to have that conversation. So let's just make a rule. Okay, this is okay, and then we won't talk about, or this is not okay, banned, out, and then we won't talk about the stuff that is okay because then that gets kind of messy and we don't want to talk about that, right? You can uphold the law and still fall victim to the underlying thing that is the problem, right? And so when we're reading that you're no longer beholden to the law, it's not because all those things that God said in the Hebrew Bible aren't important. It's because with Jesus, the goal is to write the law on your heart. And he tells us at the very end of his earthly ministry, he tells his disciples, who then hand it down and down and down to us, that the underlying piece is this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you must love each other. Now, I believe in tough love, sort of. So I think sometimes that gets misused. But I believe in love that also has accountability to it, right? I can love you and still say, yeah, and you can't abuse people, right? I love you, but you can't hurt people, right? I believe in love with accountability. But when we're talking about a group of people that have an increasing rate of suicide in the community, especially in teenagers in a community, and the church is repeatedly telling them that they are evil or sinful, there is not love there. That's problematic, right? You might be preaching the letter of the law as you read it, but you are ignoring the law that Christ is writing on our hearts. Now, this is not a sermon about full inclusion. My goal is not to convince you that I'm right on this particular issue, right? Because it's not, it's bigger. It's the underlying thing. This month we've been talking about joy. Not happiness. Not that thing that you feel in response to good things happening around you. But that underlying joy that is proactive. That allows you to feel a sense of well-being, a sense of peace, even when the storms of the world are breaking upon you. That thing that tells you, we're okay. I'm okay. Even when I don't know if I'm okay. Right? And when we live a life that is so worried about whether or not we're going to make the cut, have we followed all the right rules? Did we get it right? Because, hey, my immortal soul's on the line, right? What if I mess up? What if I do something wrong? What if I get it wrong? What if I don't understand? What if I do the wrong thing? What if I teach the wrong thing? And I don't know it, and I'm going to hell. If I live in constant fear of the what if, I'm not living into the joy of God. The author of Colossians says, I tell you all this so that you might live into the mystery of God, that is Christ Jesus. In other words, we don't have to understand it all. The hidden, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm saying this so no one may deceive you with plausible arguments, so that no one will talk you out. There are times where somebody's making a really good argument and you can feel in your heart, you know, I don't understand, I can't explain why that just doesn't resonate with me. And that's okay, because here's the thing. When we find that joy in Christ, we don't have to argue. We can listen with open ears and say, that's a good argument. Let me think about that. Let me pray about that. And recognize that sometimes people are making good arguments, but it's not in keeping with what God has written on our hearts. Right? We're having two different conversations. They're speaking to us in German, and we're responding in interpretive dance, and we don't know why they don't seem to understand, or why we can't seem to get through, or maybe we're wrong, and we get pulled back into this fear space. Watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to that ability that we should be able to understand it and explain it, according to the elemental principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority, who's over all the people who make the world make sense. May we find our peace, that proactive joy that allows us to face honestly the world around us, even when we don't understand, to trust that God is writing on our hearts a deeper wisdom, a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding. Amen.